CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is live Monday morning, CliffCentral.com. I hope you're off to a good start today. Leanne Moll, Mbulelo Tinta, C.S. Angweni, you and I, and we're all here to help each other through another week of lockdown. No expected announcements from government, which is just bizarre to me. I mean, we've got to know when this thing's going to end. People need to be able to plan, and we need to know at least when we're going to stage three, right? I mean, that would help. So if you have any info on that, you might want to help us. 079-748-2090. There are plenty of messages coming through. I know Leanne's got a bunch of stories she wants us to get to as well. Hey, Gareth, can you make a list of academics similar to the guy that you debated on Reedy's show, especially the ones working at universities? I need my kids to avoid them like COVID. Seriously, I don't know how these hippies could get in a view on the economy as an abstract thing. What do they eat and where do they find it? For fuck's sake. And that is a message from Aldo this morning. Well, Aldo, I would just keep my kid out of the humanities, out of every university in South Africa completely. There is no reason, unless they're studying language, for them to attend. I mean, I don't know who this guy is. I honestly don't. He was... All right, let me give you the story. Because people, maybe you don't know what's happened.
Very beginning.
Sorry. I'll just start again. All right. Thanks, Leanne. So, all right, we'll start again. On Friday, I did a Zoom interview with... Well, I thought it was an interview with Reedy Tlabi, and while I was talking to her, this other guy is on the call. Some dude called Jamil. He's like a diversity studies guy at one of the universities. Honestly, I don't know who he is. I was not introduced to him before the discussion in any meaningful way in terms of who he is and where he's from and what his purpose in the conversation might have been. And it seemed to me like the whole point of the debate, in inverted commas, was, Gareth, you wrote a letter to the president. You shouldn't have written a letter to the president because white privilege, cisgender, hetero male, blah, blah, blah. So you shouldn't have written a letter to the president. That was pretty much the gist of the conversation as it was constructed, from my point of view, from their side. So I had a little bit of an argument with these two. It wasn't, to my mind, very entertaining. I got a little bit cross at one point when I was accused of... The guy said, why don't you give us a list of the people who you think should die during COVID? And I thought, what a stupid question. And I very nearly ended the call there. I thought, let me just push through here. Anyway, it's got lots of attention on social media. So for 2 weeks in a row now, I've been the topic of discussion on Twitter. Which again, I don't know about because I'm not on Twitter. I don't have Twitter on my phone, and I certainly don't log onto my laptop over weekends. So I've been inside this situation, but outside, if that makes any sense. I've been like the topic of conversation, but I haven't been involved in it. So it's all very weird. And, you know, some people loved it. They thought it was very lively and exciting. Other people thought it was kind of meandering nonsense and didn't go anywhere. So whatever it's worth, if you enjoyed it and it entertained you a little bit, good. That's all I can do for you. But I found it was a complete waste of time, and you will not see me on any of those shows again anytime soon.
So I think it is a big, important point that you stated right at the beginning, the fact that you weren't even fully aware of it and the format that the show would take.
Yeah, I've never been on that show before with Reedy, and I've always liked Reedy. I have no issue with her at all. And I thought, based on the fact that Reedy is she's a reasonable, responsible person whom I've had a lot of respect for, I'd be happy to go on any show that she hosts. But it was like she wasn't even there. I mean, I don't know if she's having a tough time through lockdown, or I'm not sure what's going on there, but it was like she was really just sitting there watching us talk to each other, and she had no control. So I don't know what was going on in that discussion. And maybe I should have just said at that point, you know what, guys, this is not for me. Like, I don't need to be a part of this. It just seems like there's this strange pushback in South Africa where people, ordinary citizens, shouldn't have a say. It should only be the government and the experts. And really, the government and the experts have let us down in this crisis more than anyone else. I think ordinary people should be able to make their own decisions. and should be able to voice their opinions. More than ever, that's important now. You know, you could be responsible for your own health, your kids' health, your family's health. You can be responsible for the decisions you make and take that responsibility on as an individual. And if you can't, obviously, then you need help. You need to be able to call for that help. But it's just weird how that letter of mine has got so many people so angry. I mean, if you don't like it, write your own letter, you know?
Also, the government and me and my tribe, that's who's allowed to speak.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if you, if you're on their side, then you can speak your mind and there's no problem. But God help you if you have a contrary view.
And it's so interesting that everyone wants to speak nowadays, but how many truly listen?
Well, when you say everyone wants to speak, I mean, I'm seeing lots more open letters and people coming out in condemnation of government strategy here and everything. And I welcome that. It's good. But I'm glad that I started that fire. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of people who'd still be sitting at home thinking these things and not saying them. You've got to know you're not alone. You know, there are lots of people in the world who agree with you, even though you think you're on your own. Hey, Gareth and team, you guys and your show have kept me entertained through lockdown. Often go to your podcast to get a perspective on what's happening in the country and the economy as opposed to mainstream media. Keep up the good work. Good job to you and your team. That's from Alistair. Thanks, Alistair. Very good.
Very nice.
Yes. And then Sintemba says, I watched that debate you had over the weekend. I must say, lately you've been disagreeable, even careless in approach and somewhat tyrannous in expressing your opinions, but you really took that other panelist to the cleaners. You dismantled his argument so that he didn't even know what he was debating about. Reedy could have done better with a more mature and experienced debater who could have stood their ground more graciously and not some leftist social media activist who stands for no true value, but will climb on and defend whatever opinion is en vogue. So Sintemba giving me some feedback. I'm sorry if I've been disagreeable and careless in approach. My own sister told me this yesterday, just in respect to the way I talked to her. Now, she was like, you know, you sometimes are so grumpy and vicious and angry. And like, I'm sorry. I really am. If I've come across that way, I apologize. I realize. But I think everybody's taking strain through this.
Yeah,
lockdown.
A lot of it's just frustration, pure frustration and a feeling of being left in the dark and know what's next.
Yeah, and I'm not going to make excuses for myself. I've probably not covered myself in glory over the last few weeks in terms of being the kind of person you'd want to introduce your parents to. You know? So I apologize. And if I've been a real douchebag, I take it back. But I'm unable. Like, a lot of people have this ability to only get passionate about things that affect get passionate about things that affect them. I get upset when I see like systems failing, and I get upset when I see bad decisions being made that are going to affect people, and they themselves don't see it, or the government doesn't see it, or the general consensus is the opposite, and then I get wound up about that. And I can't help it. It's just something that's in me. I apologize if it's upsetting to listen to, and I promise I will try to reform. I mean, we had a ridiculous show on Friday, for example, and we didn't talk about. I don't think we talked about anything serious the whole of Friday's show, right?
Yeah. Look, I also think it was because of my special gift that was delivered the day before.
Your secret Santa wine and cigarette supply.
This is a call to the nation.
Yeah.
To hashtag keep Leanne buzzed.
Right.
Slide into my DMs, baby. Yeah. Ready and willing.
Yes.
My fingers on my gate remote.
She's ready.
She's not even joking.
Oh, I'm not joking. I'm checking my DMs right now.
National treasure will protect you by any means necessary. Yes. Okay. Hashtag keep Leanne buzzed.
Okay, right. What time?
Oh, she's busy answering messages right now to her DMs. All right. So, if you've also been a bit cranky over the last few weeks, I suppose let's all just forgive and forget. Let's bury it because...
Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, I don't want to be... so hard on everyone who listens to us, because I can be, you know, a moaning, grumpy old fuck, like Temba just said. So I apologize. Let me just get that out of there.
All right, you're human. At this point, it's completely understandable.
Well, thanks for that.
I should know better. So I apologize. You'll get better results from me going forward. All right. You can message us, 0797-482-090. Let us know what's up with you this morning and where you have been and what you have done over the last couple of days. If you've got anything exciting to tell us, maybe you bought something different at the shops, because that's the limit of some people's adventure at the moment. You know?
Yeah, now that you're allowed to buy a broom.
Yes, you're allowed to buy a broom.
If you really had to think about what has been the most exciting thing that's happened to you, like, in the past week.
Oof. in the real world?
The wine and cigarettes.
I went for a really nice walk the other day. I don't know about
that. That's nice.
I ate some cake, which I haven't done for ages, over the weekend. I did that for Mother's Day. I had some...
Mbulelo, what about you?
It's tough stuff. I haven't changed my routine. I'm boring at the best of times.
Mbulelo is a Spartan. He basically does his exercise. He works. He's got a very stringent list of things that he makes sure he does every single day. That's why he's never going to get fat, and he's never going to be caught doing anything embarrassing, but he also won't have any relationships in his life. You know?
That's true. Everything comes at a cost.
Oh!
Yeah.
All right. I know Leanne's got some stories, but before we get to that, here's Dudes, who says, I feel for the people stuck either at home or away in overseas countries and not being able to travel for work. I'm stuck in Australia, and I can't get back to work in Kazakhstan. My back I want to be stuck in Kazakhstan and can't return home. I hope the airways and borders open soon. Thanks for the company every day. Cheers, peace and love. Dude, I'm sorry.
You don't hear that every day.
I want to get back to Kazakhstan. I've never actually heard those words in my life. I can't wait to get back to Kazakhstan. That's insane.
They've ever been said in public.
Yeah,
that doesn't tell you about the state of the world. Then I don't know what will.
All right, so what's going on in the news, Ass? What can you tell us? Leanne's
just replying to...
one of the DMs.
Saying, yeah.
Really?
Happy to drop off a bottle of wine for you.
Wait, are you... I might be really gullible here.
No, I'm being dead serious.
She's on her phone right now.
So generous.
Yeah.
Right. As my account number, then.
Leanne, can I just drag you away from your liquor consumption for a second and just bring you back to, like, telling us some stories in the news?
I think what's quite cool is that this little boy, 12 years old, in the US, mm-hmm. has been watching his parents and everybody else trying to avoid touching things during these times. Right. So door handles and picking things up and that sort of thing. So he's manufactured a 3D printed device to help in this. It's a little tool that avoids touching surfaces with your hands. Very strange shape. I won't even try and describe it.
Okay.
But it's a little hook-like device that you can use to open doors without direct contact.
All right.
Maybe pick something up that you want to look at. He's 12 years old, and he's already printed thousands of them. He's making some money off it, too.
Good for him.
Wow.
Yeah. He noticed that his parents were, like, using their sleeves to try and press keypads at ATMs and also at cashiers. So, you know, when you have to put in your code and petrol stations and that sort of thing. And now he's actually had to buy a second 3D printer.
Good for him.
About half an hour per tool to make three 3D printers. I stand to be corrected there. He's sent out a YouTube video with his device in action. He's also got a video of how it's been printed.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, hats off to this guy.
Wow.
I think that's amazing. He's got, like, a factory basically going on in his bedroom. and he's 12 years old, and he's making these devices that prevent people from having to touch surfaces, because obviously during the COVID thing, that's a big concern to some people. And now he's making money. Good for this kid. You see, there is a way, even in a supposedly difficult situation, for someone, even a 12-year-old, to start a business and start making some cash. Good for this guy. Okay. I love it.
Designer himself, but all he did was helped him out a little bit with the website.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about 3D printers.
Right.
Just your kind of typical kid. He's a little bit nerdy, like he learns computer code for fun in his spare time, games, martial arts, and he's been homeschooled for the past 3 years. So nothing different for him at the moment.
Wow.
Looking at getting into aeronautical design and technology and that sort of thing.
Well, watch that guy. Yeah,
he's already set.
he's going to be a success. Watch him. He's not going to disappear into the woodwork.
Silver lining a bit. The fact that we'll have so many great innovations and great ideas come to fruition because of a time like this. More people have time to themselves and to work on their ideas. So look at this 12-year-old, for example.
Well, here's a message from Jean on our 079-748-2090 number. If you want to message us, you can send us a voice clip like Jean just did.
It was my daughter's birthday this weekend. She was terrified that she wasn't going to be able to do anything, but I ended up finding a tablet for her because it's her first tablet. She's 10 years old. And then we ended up baking cake. Like you said, you had cake. I had some cake as well. It was fantastic. And then we had 6 bottles of wine that my dad had stocked away for the day. So all in all, one of the best weekends I've had since lockdown started.
There we go. Jean had 6 bottles of wine that they managed to find. He had some cake, and his daughter had a birthday. So there's some good news. Well, it's my little nephew. He's turning 4 today. It's his birthday.
Oh, man.
So you know how hard it is to find a 4-year-old presents during lockdown because they can't sell toys for some reason.
It should be the year he realizes that material stuff is not all it.
Oh, see,
you could buy him winter clothes.
You can't say that to a 4-year-old. He'll just start crying. He's 4 years old.
I'm just reflecting what you often say. Yeah. According to your own advice, he should be put to work in the mines. I'm not laughing. I'm
sorry. Yeah, you make a good point. I should maybe buy him a pickaxe. I think you can buy
a
hard hat. You could buy tools right now, huh? So maybe I should buy him a shovel, and he should learn to shovel coal in the meantime.
He could bury the dead animals that he kills in the garden.
Go and put him to work at that abandoned construction site since we're on lockdown. Say you expect a 16-floor building by the end of lockdown from him.
Yeah. All right. Sia, you know what? You just brought me back in line. Correct. Let's put the guy to work.
There we go.
4 years old is already. He could have been working for a year already. This is delayed.
Listen, on the other side of the scale, Leanne, you were mentioning someone who's 12 years old. Here's someone who's 116 years old.
Wow.
His name is Freddie Blum. He lives in Cape Town, and he could actually be could be the oldest living man on Earth. Record still hasn't done its test to approve it, but on record currently, it's a British resident, who's 112 years old, who's the world's oldest living man. But Freddie, on our side of the world, has just celebrated his birthday on Friday, and people were asking him what he thinks about being alive now, and you know, the coronavirus, and he's just shrugging it all off. He's like, yo, this long because of God's grace. Don't ask me anything more. I don't know anything. People were even asking him about what it was like to be alive during the Spanish flu pandemic.
Yeah.
100 years old. And all he recalls from that time is his own sister actually dying from the Spanish flu. But other than that, he's like, let's just live and let live. He was born, according to him, in 1904 in Adelaide. And, you know, right now he spends his day with his 86-year-old wife,
mm-hmm.
his 2 stepchildren.
Yeah.
And he has stopped going to doctors and is not even fazed about even going to doctors during the coronavirus, because he says, if I'm meant to die, I'm meant to die. So his current recipe is just taking 2 Disprins a day and still carrying on smoking.
Ah, I love it.
Yeah, I think that's
so awesome. I have a story for you about him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last year, I made a documentary with a crew, and the very crew is making documentary about him. So look for that.
The same guy?
Oh.
Trade room.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you see, tough old bastard like that, nothing's going to get him down, not even COVID.
Yeah.
You look at the rest of us, we look so weak by comparison. You know, it was VE Day over the weekend, and I mentioned this briefly at VE Day 75 years ago that World War II ended in Europe. And I posted 2 pictures of my 2 grandfathers, my mom's dad and my dad's dad. And I compare the things that they went through in their 20s to what I went through in my 20s. And it's incomparable, you know, even though we think that this COVID crisis is a real challenge to society and to civilization, and it is in some ways, it's just nothing compared to like having to go to war and fight Hitler and Mussolini. Can you imagine how much more difficult their lives were than ours? So it's worth thinking about. I've got to play you something hilarious. This is someone I know. She's going to remain nameless, but just listen to how she's finding lockdown. Just listen to this. I think this is absolutely hysterical. Hang on, I just need to turn this on over here.
How are you?
Listen to this quickly.
Gareth, how are you? I was sitting in my garden and realizing that actually I would have been a bootlegger in the days of, you know, all the prohibition, and I would have been so rich and so happy. I worked out that in the last 7 weeks during shutdown, I've had my hairdresser at my house, a hairdresser, tinting and doing my hair. I've had 4 massages. I've had 2 facials. I've had 3 manicures and a pedicure. And I'm actually fine and feeling great. So clearly rules are not, I'm not made for rules. It doesn't work for me. I don't want to harm anybody else. Absolutely not. But I'm buying illegal cigarettes. My life's great. I'm not quite sure what the problem is. And I'm not quite sure why everybody's all being. My brother's become the headmaster of headmasters. I think he's in charge of the headmasters of the world. He's the chairman of the group of headmasters who keep people in place and tell them how to behave. So we've had a massive fallout, which is fabulous, because I'm just carrying on, and he's miserable and grumpy, and I'm very happy and content. I hope you're doing well. Can't wait for things to get back to.
Isn't that really cool? I mean, this is just this is so funny, because she's somebody who I've worked with and I know quite well, and she's just loving the lockdown. She's getting everything she needs, breaking all the rules. She's managed to acquire bootlegged cigarettes and alcohol from wherever she needs to get it, and she's just doing her thing. You know, some people are tremendously resourceful. Makes me think of that guy who's 100 and something years old and just doesn't care about what's going on around him. He's like, eh, whatever. I've been through much worse.
I love the fact that Freddie slid in a slight jab saying that his only birthday wish this year would be to have more cigarettes, so he's not happy about the ban.
Yeah, there's some crusty old bastards who've lived through some tough times, and they don't think this is a big deal at all, huh?
Also, keeping in the whole line of not seeing this as a big deal, I saw a lot of people this weekend who were now just not even making a big deal about going back to the way things were and their ordinary lives. I saw a lot of people who were hanging out with their mothers, you know, yesterday in particular. Mothers, so obviously they traveled over there. And just, they didn't even skip a beat.
Yeah, I think that especially if you've been under lockdown and you've really followed the rules, let's say you've been extremely dutiful and you've been careful.
I'm beautiful.
I know. You are beautiful and dutiful, Leanne. But if you've been really good about this, you know, they say that the incubation period and the period that you can be sick with COVID and so on is like 14 days or so. Let's say 21 at a max. Now, we've been under lockdown for much longer than that. So the chances are that you might have been, if you had it, you would have been over it by now. And if you haven't had it yet, then neither have the people who've also been under lockdown strictly. So you could see them. It makes no difference. That's why this lockdown at this point just doesn't seem, there's no end game. You know, it's sort of just it's just going on and on and on without any plan. So it seems sort of ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd love to be one of those people who've had it, were asymptomatic, maybe were lucky enough to have been tested and know that they've had it.
Yeah.
Again, and they can just go about their business.
Yeah, and there may be more of those people than you even know. They say that the first case of COVID might have come into the country back in January already. So for all we know, while we were all carrying on January, February, most of March, there could have been people spreading this around. And frankly, it doesn't look like it's hit very hard at this point. They keep on saying it might still get worse. But right now, based on the figures that we've got at the moment, it's nothing. It's not even a blip on the radar. All right. Well, we're going to speak to Nadia Yonk just now. She is one of the South Africans who's attempting to get back to Hong Kong. Because she's been stuck in South Africa. She wants to get back to work, which is the opposite of the situation. We spoke to somebody just the other day who's stuck in Thailand, and she wants to come back home so that she can get back to work. These people want to leave South Africa. They are South African citizens, but they have permanent residency in Hong Kong, so they can carry on working. And it's become really, really difficult for them. So we'll find out how that's going with Nadia in a short while. Your messages and your calls and your thoughts to 0797482090. Here's some suggestions for what you can do for kids' birthdays during this time, because I've got a nephew who's turning four today. So I got this suggestion. Yeah, not just weapons and construction tools. Ruth says you can get a modeling clay or a paint and chalk set. If there are artists in the family, there is stationery available for sale at most stores. So yeah, I could probably get stationery. Although, you know, the problem with a four-year-old is four-year-olds, they're not really that creative yet. Four-year-olds are, and he's a messy little bastard. I mean, you give him paint.
They're more like finger paints type kids at the moment.
Yeah. He's not going to be creating some masterpiece, trust me. And he's a bright kid.
You know what it sounds like to me?
What?
It sounds like you're protecting your own feelings, because four-year-olds are tremendous at giving honest feedback. You don't want to give a bad gift to a four-year-old. It's going to be brutal.
That's probably what I'm looking for, is I don't want to be rubbished by my own nephew for his present that
exactly.
I gave. You're probably right. All right, so here's a different perspective to the restrictions that have been caused by lockdown. What are you meant to do if you're trying to leave South Africa to get back to work in a foreign country? Well, Nadia and her family are trying to answer that. They're South Africans who live and work in Hong Kong. They've got valid Hong Kong visas and IDs. They came into the country a few weeks ago for a visit, and then they were stuck here for lockdown. And even though Hong Kong has now granted them access back to the country, South African authorities are the ones who are not giving them permission to leave. So I thought we'd just find out from Nadia what's actually going on. That sounds kind of crazy, Nadia. You guys are trapped here. Everybody on the Hong Kong side is like, they're saying, please come, we need you back at work. But you guys are stuck, and the South African authorities won't help you.
Yes, good morning, guys. We've been in South Africa for a few weeks now, and we've been profusely trying to get back home. There's actually a group of around 200 people that are also from Hong Kong in a similar situation. And we've been trying, well, before the Qatar flights were launched, I don't know if you're aware of them, we tried organizing charters, we tried figuring out where we need to get the necessary approval, and then actually Hong Kong Immigration approached us and told us about these flights. We subsequently booked our flights, and when we arrived at the airport, we were just told that South African passport holders are not allowed to leave the country, irrespective if you have a valid working permit, visa, etc. So there's actually a lot of people in a similar situation.
So in other words, you only knew that you couldn't make it there when you got to the airport. Nobody bothered to tell you that before.
Yeah, well, not exactly. So this flights are scheduled by Qatar Airways. So you meet at the Qatari embassy beforehand, and then you're transported to the airport by bus. Okay. So when we arrived at the Qatari embassy, we were told that they are still waiting for our approval, which they told us beforehand we had already. And then when we arrived at the airport, they just said, you are not allowed to fly. So, yes.
And who in the South African government is responsible for this? Is it the Department of Home Affairs? And have you spoken to someone there? How have they treated you?
Well, we've spoken to the Department of Home Affairs. We've spoken to DIRCO, Department of Transport. It's just, it seems like nobody, well, according to the Disaster Management Act, the Minister of Home Affairs or somebody designated by him can give South Africans with permanent residency in other countries permission to leave the country. But when you reach out to all of these departments, it seems like nobody knows what you're talking about, or they just tell you that they don't have the mandate to let you leave. And we were told by the by Qatar Airways that they received an email just before we were about to leave. They received an email from DIRCO saying that no South Africans are allowed to leave the country. And we followed up for weeks now and just nothing.
So Nadia, do you think, and this is really, I mean, I'm reaching here because I don't know whether you know the answer, but do you think, based on what you've experienced here, that it's incompetence or malice? Do you think they're actually being malicious, or do you think they're just incompetent?
It's hard to say. These are really unprecedented times, but I just feel like we're a big group of people. All of us have reached out to all of these departments. If there's a gap in regulations, then somewhere it feels like a light needs to go off and say, oh, like we missed something.
And there's no desire on their side to kind of meet you halfway. I mean, they're not saying to you, listen, we're trying to work on this. We'll come back with an answer. Just hold tight. It's not like these people seem to have any interest in trying to find a solution to your problem. And it's entirely within their powers to do so.
Not at all. Not at all. It's not even like somebody have reached out and said, okay, listen, I see that you're in a spot. Let me refer you to somebody that can help you. I've actually received an email from DIRCO a while ago saying, like, Ms. Yonke, you are welcome to organize your own charter flight, which we were trying to do. But as soon as you ask them, where do I need to get authorization from it for this to happen? They just stop replying to emails and phone calls.
Huh. And government is one of the few things that is still supposedly going on during the lockdown. They're still at work. All government departments are required to be at work because they're an essential service, supposedly.
Yes. So yes.
It's not as if you're pulling people out of lockdown to sort this problem out for you. So what are you guys going to do? I mean, are you stuck in Joburg now? Are you looking for accommodation? How long is it going to take? Do you have any idea of whether there's a horizon to this?
Oh, we're actually some of the lucky ones because we are stuck in Joburg, but we have parents that we can still stay with. Yeah. There's other people that actually traveled interprovincially during the grace period that are from Cape Town or Durban or whatever that are now stuck in Joburg until we find a solution. So we've reached out to a few people and we're being assisted by Home Away from Home at the moment. So it's actually an organization that started with helping people or repatriating South Africans that are stuck abroad. Mm-hmm. But they heard of our story and now they are assisting us. So we're sending a legal letter to the government today. And yeah. I think they have a week or something. I'm speaking under correction. They have a week to respond. If not, then it goes into mediation. And then if that isn't successful, it will go into litigation.
Well, all I can do is wish you luck. It sounds like an absolute disaster. And while you guys are required to be back at work in Hong Kong, and there are 200 of you that have jobs that are waiting to start, you know, being part of the world economy again, there's this paperwork and bureaucracy that just seems to be getting in the way all the time.
It's very true. And we were really treated badly by the South African authorities for no other reason than just wanting to return to our livelihoods.
Yeah, it seems to me it's a direct assault on your freedom and your freedom here to make money and to be able to move freely around the world with no apparent concern for health, because that's always been the excuse that's been used during this crisis, is that it's all about health. It seems that Hong Kong, which is in the country, China, where the whole thing started, is welcoming you back with open arms, but you're being stopped here at our borders. It's almost like you're being held hostage.
Yeah. That's very weird. It's very true.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing your story with us. I hope it goes well. Keep us informed. All I can say is good luck. I really don't know what else to say. It's such a mess.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for chatting to me.
Cool. Thanks, Nadia. There we go. Nadia Yonk, who's attempting to get back to Hong Kong. How's that, huh? Mess.
Tough times, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
What is worse is she was telling me yesterday as well about some of the different people who are in that, you know, grid. And it really hits home in other ways as well. Mm. She says there's someone who is pregnant.
Yep.
The whole new life is in Hong Kong. You would want your child to be born there and become a citizen there. So what would happen if they're forced to give birth here? And she also let me know that there's someone who is suffering from cancer and so needs cancer treatment. So what do you do then?
Yeah, it's awful. That's really, really messy. Let's talk about some of the other things that are going on, though. We don't need to get into miserable stuff first thing on a Monday morning.
Yes.
Real as it is. What's going on, Leanne?
Planning a bucket list trip that you know that you can book even years in advance.
Well, is that a trip to heaven?
Well,
that's the only one I can think of.
That's been booked since the day you were born.
So here's something interesting. I spoke to Reg Lascaris on Friday. We had a really interesting chat, which, see, I think we'll probably be playing out tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Reg Lascaris is a famous South African ad man, and he did a whole lot of research into marketing and trends that are going on during this COVID pandemic, what it means for advertising, marketing, communications. And I really, if you listen to any interview this week, it should be that one. It's on tomorrow, and we'll make sure that we put it out on cliffcentral.com so you can download it and listen whenever you like. But it'll be released tomorrow. So Reg said something interesting. He said, local travel is likely to go up. He was speaking to a friend of his in Italy, and apparently all the places in Italy are booked up for next year, but they're not booked up by international people. They're booked up by locals because you can travel within your own country fairly easily. And, you know, we live in South Africa where there are plenty of really great places to go to.
For sure.
Our local travel industry needs our support in the first place. Prices are likely to come down because they won't have the international bookings that they might have had last year. And you may be able to get some really good deals. You may be able to visit some places you've always wanted to in South Africa at a fraction of the cost that they might have cost for international tourists. And you get to explore your own backyard a little bit. So there's something to think about there when you talk about, you know, your bucket list of places that you want to travel to. There's so many places in South Africa I still want to see.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it makes you feel a little bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah. So what's this bucket list of yours? I mean, have you got one?
So some of the that you can go to that you can already start planning and booking. Mm-hmm. A trip to Antarctica. Antarctica.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, come on, it's really expensive, which is why you have so much time to prepare for this. No, everyone wants to explore the great wide open. It's difficult because there's a cruising industry that has made 1 and 2 week itineraries routine.
Mm-hmm.
You generally book a year in advance, and cruises usually begin in the world's most southernmost city. Any idea where that is?
Must be in South America.
That's right, Argentina.
Oh.
Ushuaia in Argentina.
Yeah.
Argentina. My grand would say that.
Argentina, yes.
I know a lot of people from Argentina.
All right, so you start off in Argentina and you take this cruise.
Yes, you stop off in the Falkland Islands, South Georgia, and Arctic Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
The more places you visit and the longer the trip it takes.
Yeah, I've got to be, Leanne, I'm trying to be optimistic about this, but I don't see why anyone would want to go.
Not for you?
No, cold, the most exciting thing, it's all white and ice, and all you're going to see there is maybe a couple of leopard seals and some penguins. I don't see the reason to go to Antarctica. Am I missing something?
You can go polar diving, not polar bears, but as in the pole.
No.
No, you go in a little machine thingy.
No, I don't like this for one. You. No.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Wait. I'm sensing Mulelo has been polar diving before.
I have not been polar diving. But that trip is impossible to get on the waiting list. I tried a couple of years ago when I was at the height of my travel peak.
Yes.
Impossible to get on the list.
So you were going to go polar diving?
Absolutely. I was. Antarctica is my last continent.
Bolelo, why would you want to go to Antarctica? Just explain it to me like I'm an idiot.
So personally, I'd love to get on David Bloch's trip.
Oh yeah, where they go.
You know, where the scientists would be the best.
Where you see the Northern Lights, for example. In the
well, I've seen the Northern Lights, but
of course, yeah.
I'd go more for the scientific.
Yeah. All right. Well, so
if that's not for you.
Yeah.
How about? Just trying to 66 before.
To what? Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you drive a car basically cross country in America, across all the states, right? Something like that.
Not really for you. Okay, how about an East African safari? I know we get a lot of these in our own safaris here,
yeah.
But you would be able to visit something like Kenya's Maasai Mara National Reserve.
Yeah, I'm up for that. That sounds like a good idea. I'd like to go and see the Ngorongoro crater in East Africa, and I'd like to go on one of those tours. You know, they've got volcanoes up there that have like that hot mud and some there's some bizarre almost prehistoric sort of landscapes there that I would love to explore.
These big bands and swathes of wildlife that live in the Ngorongoro conservation area,
right?
Within these volcanic areas.
Now that I would love to.
And I mean, obviously, you'd be able to see something like the Great Wildebeest Migration year event. The risky river crossings occur in July and August, and between January and March, wildebeest calves are born in the southern Serengeti.
All right, the Serengeti. Da, 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 da.
Da, da, da. Oh, that beep was a. Did you hear that beep? It's a reminder for me to pay my credit card.
That's not going to happen, ooh. Right?
That's very funny.
Oh, no. I need to cry.
Rack up the credit card debt, yeah?
The good news is that I have set up a little exchange of goods.
Oh, yes.
Well maybe done. Not just an exchange, but thank you very much to those who have DM'd me.
Okay, so keeping.
And we'll be in touch soon.
Keeping Leanne nicely supplied with cigarettes and liquor is part of what we do on the show now, evidently.
And Leanne, what do you have to give up?
Yeah.
Apparently, I've been enjoyed and appreciated since my days at 5FM. So giving up 13 hours of my day for 16 years.
Okay.
So you paid it for
yes.
it.
Yes.
Leanne, as someone who ended up having a tenure working at the Purple Pleasure Palace, let me tell you, there's no such thing as a free bottle of wine.
All right.
I ended up having to have the nickname Polly Pretzel, okay? I can tell you.
I don't want to know. All right, Tony says it was his daughter Annie's 5th birthday today. Our local office supply store sells Lego, so Lego it is. Yeah, that's what. So my little nephew loves Lego, so maybe I'll do that. Gareth, how about creating your nephew a personalized storybook? Oh, please! You obviously you don't know me at all, Tanya. Imagine me making a personalized storybook. Ugh.
And even if he did, it would have like war cannons in it and the history of the musket.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Gareth, this is from Sean. Sean says, Gareth, an Arctic trip is something I've been planning for years. I'm a huge fan of everything Antarctic. Surviving Drake's Passage, setting foot on what could be another planet, etc., etc. Also love the history of the first expeditions. Sea Endurance and the story of Ernest Shackleton. It's the best audiobook I own. Okay, wow. There we go.
Yeah, you seen most.
And then Leanne, Kucho wants to know if she can also hook up with you so that they can share supplies because she also needs some liquor. So she wants to know if she can have half of your bottle of wine.
Well, no, it's only one bottle so far, so I'm not sharing yet. if things get overwhelming and I'm inundated with gifts, then maybe.
You and being inundated with wine, like, you will never complain like that.
Hey, Leanne, don't you have a list of things that you can be fined 5,000 rand for during lockdown?
But that was last week.
Oh, so you don't have it anymore? Because I was wondering, what if they catch you like doing this liquor trade, can they fine you 5 grand?
Hang on, I'm opening it right now.
She's got, good question though.
Leanne has her spreadsheet.
Of course I would be fined. I could even be imprisoned.
Oh Jesus. So be very careful.
You could just sell cigarettes and alcohol in prison.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you probably find that it's easier to get alcohol and cigarettes in prison right now.
Yeah, there's probably some home brews going on behind the greenhouse shack from the ones that I watch. Mm. Okay, so obviously we know now that unauthorized disclosure of information can be fined. That's as in fake news or even information in the COVID-19 tracing database. In other words, if there is this whole tracing thing that's going on where people are trying to track who you've been in contact with, mm-hmm. open and honest with that, otherwise you can face some ramifications.
Okay.
If you execute an eviction order on anyone at the moment, you can face a fine up to 5,000 rand. Intentionally exposing another person to COVID-19. Well, I should hope so.
Yeah. If you know you've got it and you actually intentionally pass it on to someone, I mean, that's like, I've said for the longest time, and I wonder why we take COVID more seriously than AIDS. But, you know, there are people who lie about their HIV status and then they sleep with someone and then they pass it on to that person. That should be, you should be able to hold that person accountable for like attempted murder, right?
At the
very exactly.
Least. I think you can, so at why would it be different? And
then lesser fines are that you can face up to 1,000 rand for failure to confine yourself to your home and moving between provinces. Also even staying outside of home during the curfew hours of 8 and 5 without a permit.
Oh, right. Okay.
Be prepared to cough up $1,000.
All right. Well, you know, like sometimes people who want to speed, they look at that and they go, well, that's the price I got to pay for being able to do what I want to do. So I'll just budget for that. That's some people do. They're like, okay.
Yeah, well. My mom used to budget for fines for driving.
Yeah.
Because she's always late to pick us up from school.
What?
So,
so she just accept that as the norm?
Yeah.
Completely.
She also budgeted for it. Okay, so apparently, here's a good suggestion. This comes from Mpihleng, who says, Gareth, give your nephew cash and 15 minutes later threaten him with a toy gun and take it away. A lesson about crime is one gift he will never forget.
Oh,
we didn't say, let's ruin the child's life.
Yeah. And then a question here from somebody, Gadge, who says, Gareth, you guys may have covered this, but why do you think Cyril and company are not addressing the nation? It's strange that there's no update. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they're totally lost at the moment because we haven't had a presidential talking to for, what, like 2 weeks now? Maybe even longer. It's almost like 3 weeks at this point. And that I just don't think they have any idea of how to come out of this lockdown. They haven't made a plan, and there's no end in sight. So we're just going to have to fok voort, like the Afrikaans people say. Right?
I haven't heard that in ages.
Fok voort. So, Gadge, I don't know what the answer is that you're hoping for, but that's the best one I've got at the moment, is that they're actually, you know, like I asked Nadia earlier, never attribute to malice what may just be incompetence. I think that they're like the Keystone.
Oh, okay.
They're like the Keystone Cops. They just don't know what to do, so they keep making mistakes. But it's not because they're being malicious, it's just because they're useless.
That's account as well, that Cyril has just started exercising on the promenade, and that's been tricky to work into his schedule. So,
yeah, well, you know what we can do? We'll ask Pumi for her opinion on this tomorrow, because Pumi loves Cyril Ramaphosa, and I'm being as sarcastic as possible when I say that. So if there's if there's anyone who has something to say about Cyril, it's probably Pumi. She'll climb in tomorrow, no doubt. Okay, well, speaking of tomorrow, we've got a full day of stuff for you today, including an interview just now with someone called Stoffel van Wyk, who's representing hairdressers. And Stoffel's upset because obviously hairdressers are not allowed to ply their trade at the moment. And I'm not being glib when I say many of us consider hairdressers to be essential services, but they are essential because for these people and their families, it is their livelihood. You know, there are people who work in salons, people who cut people's hair, that are trying their best to make a living at this very difficult time. And they're actually launching an action against government right now in the courts. So I thought we'd find out from Stoffel what's going on. That is coming up now at 8 o'clock on cliffcentral.com. So we've got him to entertain you. And then, as I said, tomorrow, Reg Lascaris will be on at 8 o'clock. So we'll talk to him about what the advertising, marketing, and communications industry is going to look like, and some interesting research that he's been doing, some case studies which will fascinate everybody who's involved in the advertising business, and a whole lot more through the course of the day. Tomorrow's also a brand new episode of Blind History, so lots to get excited about. All right, everybody, have a happy Monday, and we will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Stoffel van Wyk next about the trials and tribulations of the hairdressing industry as we find it in COVID-19. That's coming up next. CliffCentral.com.